Hi, everybody. I am Josh.
And I'm Ethan. And this is The Young Perspective.
So today, everybody, we are super lucky. We have a special guest. We are joined today by Marissa Bishop, who has actually just joined the Young Perspective team a couple episodes ago. She is helping us with marketing, with design. I think we have an official title for her. Ethan, what's the title?
She's the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer. I know, she's such a big deal.
So we're just happy to welcome Marissa. Today, we're talking about sports and what the sports teams and the sports leagues are doing involving COVID-19. And Marissa is a big sports fan, so we brought her in on this episode. Welcome, Marissa.
Hey, guys.
So today we're going to start with the NBA. The NBA, it was the first league to reopen, and I think the most controversial one, because what they're doing is they're taking 22 teams, or what they did, they took 22 teams, they flew all the players, all the staff, over 1,500 people down to Florida, and they put them up, 1,500 people, in the ESPN sports world at Disney World. And they have what's called a bubble, so players can't leave unless they have special permission, and then they have to quarantine when they get back. It's very strict, no leaving policy. But in that bubble, people can move around freely. There's no masks, and it's a whole different environment.
It's basically just a quarantine environment where they tested everyone beforehand, had them go into quarantine by themselves, and they made sure everyone who went in didn't have COVID, and they put them all in there. There are four hotels, three arenas, and about 1,500 people are in it. And it's not cheap. It's about $170 million to keep it going for over this time. But it's been pretty successful. They've had no cases so far, and this has been going on for weeks now. And they basically picked off from where their league ended. So they ended because of COVID in the middle of the season, and they continued off right from there, and they're now playing in the playoffs.
So yeah, the NBA is being really safe. They're doing daily testing, and as Ethan said, nobody's been tested positive so far, so it's really positive.
That's awesome. That's pretty effective.
Mm-hmm. It's really effective, and they're starting to test family members to bring them in, because since the playoffs have been cut, they can start bringing other people in to fill the hotel spots. Even though it's really expensive, they're really trying to keeping the atmosphere up and bringing these family members in to help the players feel comfortable.
One of the most controversial things that has been going on at the NBA, that's why I've been hearing about it so much lately, is their involvement with the Black Lives Matter movement. So it happens that 80% of the players that play in the NBA are black. I mean, that's a huge number. And the league, because such a high percentage of them were black, was super affected by the killing of George Floyd and a lot of other police brutality that has come out. So as the league as a whole has decided to take a lot of solidarity with what's been going on, and they have, what the players have been doing, so they've been doing multiple things. First of all, the league wrote Black Lives Matter on some of the courts when the league resumed on July 30th. A lot of players have decided to kneel during the national anthem, which is very controversial among a lot of people. Oh, I heard a story of a white guy on a team, and he decided that even though he felt the pain of his black players that he worked with, his colleagues, he decided that he was going to stand because he was very patriotic of the flag still, even though he respected what they were doing. And he had a brother in the army, and he felt it was disrespectful to kneel for the national anthem.
Interesting.
So another thing with the Black Lives Matter movement is that after the killing of Jacob Blake, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat were about to have a big game. But in solidarity and in memorial of Jacob Blake, they both decided to postpone the game and to just stand in solidarity with with him and his family.
Yeah, and a bunch of other teams followed in suit. And so what ended up happening is a lot of games got postponed, but now they're back and they're able to get going. And what players have done, they've written on like their jerseys, instead of like their name, they put prison reform or Black Lives Matter or other political things that they think are important. And some of them are even written in native ethnic languages of the players. It's pretty interesting how the league has really letting them take a stand against what's going on in our world and letting them bring in their views and their opinions about issues into basketball, which is not as seen. This is being seen a lot more, especially with, you know, a few years ago in Colin Kaepernick kneel during the national anthem. It's now getting a lot more attention and a lot more traction, and players are starting to stand out and using their platform to promote what they think is important.
I saw somebody interviewed Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, about all the things the NBA is doing regarding the Black Lives Matter movement and the quest for social justice. And he said, it was kind of interesting, the question the interview asked was, is the criticism that comes with the NBA embracing this position from conservative networks and politicians just the cost of doing business? And Adam Silver said, to be honest, it makes me uncomfortable. I understand critics who say that they turn to sports to avoid controversy, but it's unavoidable at this moment in time in our country. You know what they say, sports is the great united among political divides, among economic divides, among racial divides. Even so, Adam Silver says it's an unavoidable moment in time in our country that the NBA can't help but recognize and support.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting what's happening. All this stuff, what's going on outside of the world, is making its way into the NBA. So it's a pretty historic season, all the stuff that's going on with the Black Lives Matter movement and other issues that they're talking about, the players are talking about. And then to add on to the fact this is going on during a global pandemic and they're playing in a bubble with no fans.
Yeah.
But the NBA has done a good job during this time compared to the MLB and the NFL, which we're going to transition to now.
Well, the MLB, they're really not being that safe because they're not really monitoring players once they leave the field. While their protocols within the stadium are very strong, there's no fighting, no spitting. They're keeping the teams very divided and only having select personnel within the stadium. It's still, once they leave the stadium, what happens then? Will they get corona? Will they pass it on to these other players and these other staff members? And that's the big problem. It's what happens after, because you can control anything that happens in the specific place, but COVID doesn't stop within the walls of the stadium. It's select.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it seems like all these teams, they can easily control what goes on in their practice stadiums, in the real games, in the dugouts, but they can't control what the players are doing outside of the stadium because they aren't doing a bubble, or they're traveling every day on planes to new places, and they're players are allowed to go out and live their own lives and do whatever they want and not wear masks or not practice social distancing. And so they can easily get COVID-19 and spread it across the countries to other teams.
It's interesting to me that the MLB would take such a risk. It seems like such a large risk to take, not finding players who don't social distance, not trying to keep players from getting the virus. They just let them free and don't care what they're doing outside of games and outside of the stadium. They could get coronavirus. They could destroy the whole MLB season, and the MLB stands to lose a lot of money from this. I just don't understand the mindset behind letting the players go free when it's just so much to lose.
I mean, unless they're doing, you know, what the MLB is, or unless they're doing, you know, unless they're doing what the NBA is doing and creating a bubble, it's really hard to watch what they're doing and find them for it, because they either don't have proof, or, you know, it's against their morals. If take any job, if then playing a sport is just like any other job, your job can't tell you, oh, you're not allowed to go out and hang out with people or wear masks or practice social distancing.
Yes, they can.
It's just not.
You signed up for a job, and you have the right to quit. I mean, unless you sign a contract. But these guys, it's their job, and that's one of the requirements of the job to keep everybody safe.
Right. They have the right to do it, but they don't want to do it because their players will be mad, the fans will be mad, and all the other people who are part of the teams will also get mad. And so they have to make they made a decision to let them do what they want.
Oh, actually, recently the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, has been under a lot of sweat, because especially with this COVID-19 protocols, but mostly within the Houston Astros baseball, who got caught sign stealing and cheating. And there's been big controversy with their team, especially with a player named Joe Kelly. So basically what happened is Joe Kelly pitched a ball around the heads of three players, Bregman, Correa, and Springer. And it started this big brawl within both sides, as the players usually do. They got out of the stands to stand in with their team. And Joe Kelly spit on the field, and it was just like a big old thing. And Joe Kelly actually got suspended 8 games, which later got moved to 5, and got fined for it. And all of the MLB was really strict about it because they were like, we stand with Joe Kelly instead of the Astros. But it was for the COVID-19 protocols, which he got fined for, not the fighting itself.
I mean, so that's really one of the large characteristics within baseball is fighting, is spitting on the feet, on the mound, is doing all these things. So when you're not able to fight and argue with the umpire, it takes away a lot of the blood and veins and underlayer of baseball that a lot of people love.
Well, I guess now we can relate to the NFL, which when we're recording this is going to, they're going to play their first game, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Houston Texans.
Go Texans!
Woo!
The Kansas City Chiefs versus the Houston Texans.
Go Texans!
In a few hours. But when you guys will see this tomorrow, they've already played their game.
And the Texans will have won.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
But the NFL, they're not doing a bubble, similarly to the MLB, but the league has allowed each team to decide whether to allow stands into the stadium or not. And 6 teams have chosen for their first game to allow players in. The Cleveland Browns, the Dallas Cowboys, the Indianapolis Colts, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Miami Dolphins. And they're all at limited numbers, around 20-25%. One of them is around 10%, and the other one's around 3.5%.
Yeah, the Colts have 3.5%, which is like nothing compared to Jacksonville Jaguars having 25%.
Right, but I mean, most of the teams have 0 people, but all the teams are saying that they're most likely will be having fans later on in the season as things get better. And people at first were like, well, this is unfair that some teams get to have fans while other teams don't. But a lot of people are saying that, well, why can you compare one city versus another? The virus is completely different in every city in America, as some cities have done a good job with containing it and some cities have done a terrible job.
And what they're doing to make it as similar an environment for each team as possible is for the teams that don't have fans in their stadiums, they're piping in the sound of fans to make it sound like a usual game sounds, right? Because there's no fans, there's no screaming, and there's no the constant roar of the stadium. That's a great distraction for people that's silent. They're not used to that for the players. So they're piping in that noise to make it as similar to the other team's stadiums as possible.
So the NFL has been testing a bunch of people too to make sure that they're fit to play. 24 of the personnel and players have tested positive, which is it's not a small number, but considering the number of people that are in the NFL, not bubble but community, it's mostly small. And since they're testing them, they're bringing them outside of the field and not letting them play to spread to the other players and fans, I guess now.
Even so, it seems like such a high risk that these players would spread the virus to other players, because in practice, they're on top of each other. They're passing balls. Even though it doesn't spread so well through objects, it still does spread to some degree on objects, and they're throwing balls. They don't have masks on a lot of the time, so they're breathing on each other when they're tackling each other. It seems like football is one of those sports where there's such a high degree of contact that would be great for the virus to spread.
Well, similar to the MLB, there's no bubble system. They can't control what happens out of the field.
Uniquely, baseball is one of those sports that's low contact. All you're really doing when you're touching other players is touching the ball. How often are you on top of other players? How often are you breathing on top of other players? You're only really breathing on top of other players when you're the first baseman and some guy's in your base, or maybe an umpire when you're batting, or a catcher.
That's completely different for football. They're right on top of each other, tackling each other, holding each other, breathing each other's faces. It's really bad. And one thing that the NFL has worked on is masks. So masks are required for all team and personnel while they're traveling to and from games, and they're required inside of the facilities. But they're not required. They're strongly recommended for players on the sidelines to wear masks during the game.
They should just require it.
Right. They should, but they didn't. And then the officials are also required to wear the masks, and coaches and stuff are required to wear masks while during the games.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. We want to shout out a special listener who listens from France. Even though you're from France, you may not be interested in United States sports. We love rugby and cricket too. Thank you for all your support. If anybody wants to reach out to us about collaborating or about being in an episode, or if you enjoyed an episode, want to email us. Our email is ejtheyoungperspective@gmail.com. Give us an email. We're happy to hear from our fans. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I want you to remember, this was The Young Perspective.